Welcome to CERT's podcast series, Security for Business Leaders. The CERT program is part of the Software Engineering Institute, a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can find out more about us at CERT.org. Show notes for today's conversation are available at the podcast website. My name is Julia Allen. I'm a senior researcher at CERT, working on security governance and executive outreach. Today, I'm pleased to introduce Kim Hargraves, Director of Trustworthy Computing Strategy for Microsoft. Today, we'll be discussing the growing importance of privacy and how to develop an effective privacy program. So welcome, Kim. Glad to have you with us today.
Thanks, Julie. I'm glad to be here.
So what has put privacy on the radar screen for business leaders, and what are some of the most challenging issues that you see facing organizations today?
Well, I think that with the increases in digitization of personal data and the globalization of economies and how that information flows within and across borders and between organizations, privacy continues to really be a growing concern, not only for businesses and governments, but also for consumers as well. And I see that this topic really has been a focus within specialized parts of organizations for years, just due to the need to comply with regulatory requirements and things like that. But now we're starting to see the convergence of this topic really at the C-suite level. And I think the reason for that is that the implications of poor privacy practices can really directly lead to the erosion of trust and, you know, ultimately potentially impact revenues of organizations. And so I think that much of the rise to the top for privacy is a result of a lot of these highly publicized data breaches that we're seeing. And, you know, if you look at some of the figures, you know, more than 100 million users have been affected, or individuals have been affected to date.
So when you talk about globalization and the fact that, and I'm sure this is true for in your endeavors dealing with global supply chains, I suspect that has kind of also caused the whole privacy issue to be elevated, right? Because everybody's got different concerns and requirements.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the challenges that organizations face today is trying to reconcile the different, privacy legal regimes across, you know, borders between the U.S. and Canada, Europe, certainly Asia. I think that that's a significant challenge to try to figure out what is the bar from a legal perspective, because we're a global organization. But then you have to overlay on top of that, well, what are our customers' expectations? Because while there may not be a legal requirement in a certain country, we're pretty certain that individuals in those countries still may expect some level of protection of their personal data.
That makes sense. So you've got, obviously, you've got the legal and compliance issues, but probably more important what the market is going to do if you aren't handling their data properly.
Absolutely.
So clearly there are common concerns when you're addressing both information security and information privacy, and I hope we have some common solutions. But in your experience, what makes privacy unique? The two topics tend to get brought together in a lot of different discussions, but privacy really is different, right?
Yes. Yes, you know, it's. I'm sure many of you listening have heard that, you know, you can have good security without good privacy, but you can't have privacy without good security. And I think where the common intersection point then is that, you know, on the security side, of course, security vulnerabilities ultimately can lead to the breach or inappropriate disclosure of personal information. And, of course, that, you know, impacts the privacy of an individual. But where they're really different is that from a privacy perspective, you have to consider a broad range of topic areas, how that customer's data or individual's data is used. And that more goes to the root of business practices, business processes, and the choices that individuals in organizations make when they're interacting and using personal data. you know, respecting an individual's choice with, you know, how, when they've provided that data to the organization, how they've told the organization they want that data used or not used. And so I think there's a lot of business process issues, you know, particularly, say, in the marketing space or with human resources and employee data that are broader than just securing an IT system.
So would it be fair or perhaps too simplistic to say that when I think about security, I think about controls of various types,
mm-hmm.
but privacy, you have to think about the controls, but you also have to think deeply about the content, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, controls obviously are essential and across not just the systems, but, you know, the business processes, again, as I said. But, you know, it's, you know, a lot of it goes to the intention of use. And what is the individual in the organization who's gathering this data, what is their intention of use? And is it consistent with the organization's privacy principles and privacy statements, which in turn are generally aligned with legal and regulatory requirements? And so once you're following an organization's policies, you can pretty much be assured that you're going to be in compliance with laws and regulations around the world. But it's a difficult thing, I think, for to think about, because there's much more of a human element involved and much more opportunity for error.
So we know that most organizations don't have sufficient resources to ensure 100% privacy. So I know that you've done a lot of work in privacy risk assessments. So how could such an approach help sort out what risks to mitigate and what risks to accept?
That's a great question. And I have to say I'm really excited about the risk assessment work that Microsoft has done in the privacy area, and I think that what we've seen is that a risk assessment program as a part of a larger risk management strategy, when it's used appropriately, can really be a fabulous tool to identify your risks, capture those, have a methodology and a way to prioritize those risks that make sense to the organization. And when I said when you do that appropriately, what I meant was that if you can do that in a collaborative manner and you involve the right stakeholders from across the organization who are the ones that have control over the purse strings to reallocate their resources to take on the most important risks to their organization, and you align those with their business objectives, you can get a long way towards coming up with a really comprehensive set of prioritized risks that reflects the needs of the organization, and then the organization can take action on those things. And once you have that organizational ownership, even though maybe a central group, like in Microsoft or Trustworthy Computing Group, facilitates this risk assessment program and strategy, when there's business ownership, that's when the impacts can really get made in the organization. That's when change can really be effective and be made, and you can see the results of that through great risk mitigation strategies.
So how have you been able to get business leaders and owners and information owners to enthusiastically engage with the risk assessment process?
That's an area where we have, you know, had to, through trial and error, find ways that work. And in an organization like Microsoft, where there's diverse business groups and, you know, you have differences between what I would call shared services organizations like HR and finance that, you know, sort of serve the whole company versus individual business units that vary business practices very differently, where, you know, you have organizations developing software that gets sold in a box product versus online services versus consumer products like Xbox. You have to really spend some time understanding the organization, knowing the differences in cultures within the pockets and how they work, and be willing to adjust your risk assessment program because one size doesn't fit all. And so I think one of the ways we were successful in getting folks to enthusiastically accept this program and get on board is, again, to be willing to understand their business, tie their business objectives with the value that the risk assessment will bring to them, and then work with them in a collaborative way to tailor the action plans that would fit within how their business operates. I think those were really the key elements for success for us.
So it sounds like you've really gone the extra distance to make sure that the privacy issues and concerns and actions that need to be taken are really framed in business terms.
Absolutely.
So here's one I'm kind of curious to hear what you have to say. We hear about all kinds of risk assessments, financial, capital, operational, obviously information security, and now we're talking about, some would say, yet another risk assessment for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found effective ways to either tackle all of these in some integrated way or deal with the fact that there's many dimensions to assessing risk at the enterprise level?
You know, there are very many dimensions, and I think that, you know, from my perspective, that Microsoft as an organization is starting to mature in this area. But one of the things we've done is adopt an ERM strategy, or an enterprise risk management strategy. And what that has done for us has allowed us to really place the right risk assessment activities with the right level and the right areas in the company. And so if for those of you who are familiar with ERM, which comes from a COSO framework, there's really four areas. There's financial reporting risks, operational risks, legal and regulatory risks, and strategic risks. So what that does is it allows the organization to kind of break those things up into meaningful pieces that can be looked at different levels. And so if you think about privacy risk assessments, then really what my goal is as the owner of that program for the company is to be able to define, okay, there's some strategic privacy risks, clearly there's a lot of operational risks, and there's also some legal and regulatory risks. So I view it as my role to have that information available in a way that then those risk pillar owners can take that and input that and add that to their assessment program.
Okay, so then those all get rolled up at some level as they move up and through the organization so that, again, they're framed in a common business way.
Right. And, you know, one of the things I'm really excited about as I watch Microsoft mature in this area is that, you know, in a longer term view, what you'd be able to do is for an individual business owner, you know, let's say HR, you would be able to go to one place and see, okay, I have a bunch of risks that I need to manage as a leader in the company, and some of them are going to be strategic and some of them are going to be operational, et cetera. But you can look at them all in the context of, this is my risk universe, now what's the most important to me, versus having individual domain experts, security, privacy, you know, employment law, whatever it might be, coming to you and saying, well, you know, hey, the sky is falling, this is my top risk of the day. You know, as a business owner, you want to be able to look at those things much more holistically and be able to prioritize across those different domains and disciplines. And I think that ERM is one way that would allow an organization to do that.
Well, and it sounds like have confidence then, as you said, that their entire risk universe is described in a common place, and so if they tackle that, they don't have to worry about something being missing.
Right. And, you know, like as a company, I mean, we're not there yet. ERM is a tough thing to do, but we're on the right track, and you know, I can see this vision for the future where you know, this is really impactful. It's already impactful today, and the more robust we get at this, the more impactful it will be for business owners to make decisions.
So based on your privacy risk assessment results and others that you've seen use privacy risk assessment successfully, what have you found to be the most effective approaches for putting a program in place that you can sustain, and maybe throw in some lessons learned or pitfalls to avoid.
Sure. You know, I think that, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that I've found that we have to be in our program as we're implementing it is that we have to be flexible, because there's different business units that operate differently, and then there's shared services organizations that support the whole company. And so we have to figure out kind of the best way to implement privacy practices across those varying organizations. And so I think some of the lessons that we've learned that are really important that, you know, hopefully are applicable for other organizations as well, is that you have to start off with a basis, and you know, people have to understand the domain and the subject to some extent. And if we talk about privacy explicitly, you know, training employees and others in the organization is really important. And so one of the key success factors I believe that we've had is that we've developed some role-based training so that, you know, we have a privacy 101 that any employee in the company can take, but we also have a fair degree of more specialized training courses so that, you know, if you're somebody in product development, if you're somebody in marketing, if you're somebody who handles databases with a lot of personal information, there's specialized training courses for you so that it makes it much more relevant for that employee in their job and what does privacy mean for them. So that's one area where I think, you know, it's just shown that it's absolutely critical to have that. The other thing I think is using this risk-based approach to define our privacy strategy in the company, and then aligning that with the business's objectives has been really critical. But then further taking that down to say, okay, where there's privacy functions throughout the company that support a specific business area, we also want to make sure that their goals and objectives are aligned with the corporate strategy. So I think the alignment piece is also really key.
And would it be fair to say that some of the pitfalls or challenges are not having some of those connections made and some of those tailored training programs in place, or would there be some other challenges you'd want to mention?
I think that some of the other challenges, yes, absolutely, to the question. That's, you know, a pitfall to avoid would be not aligning, you know, going out and saying, okay, we're going to do privacy because we have this legal and regulatory compliance issue to deal with, and this is what we're going to do. It just doesn't work effectively that way. Another pitfall I think that's important to avoid is not trying to do this in a silo. There are so many other organizations in the company that you have to partner with and deal with on a regular basis that will help you implement and sustain your program. And, you know, if I think about information security, network security, internal audit, you know, there's some folks out there who can be really great partners from a privacy perspective that if you are not working with those groups today, you may not be as effective in your programs as you could be if you've got deep collaboration and, you know, kind of day-to-day consulting and you know, working together on common projects and programs.
Well, that's great information and great input to others who are struggling with trying to put a privacy program in place. As we bring our conversation to a close, I'm reading that, and you mentioned some of your role-based work in training and outreach, that you've done some work, some survey work, and collected some pretty interesting information on the different role perspectives when people are collaborating to protect personal information. Would you like to just touch on that briefly?
Sure. In October, we released the results of a study that we did with the Ponemon Institute, looking at the different roles between marketing organizations, privacy organizations, and security organizations across a company, and trying to find out how collaborative are those organizations, and when there is collaboration in an organization, is it valuable? Does it result in some, return to the organization? And what we found was really interesting, that there's really a very strong correlation between the level of collaboration between those three groups and the incidence of data breaches within an organization. So what I mean by that is that in organizations where collaboration between marketing, security, and privacy are really strong, those organizations are much less likely to suffer a data breach than organizations where the collaboration is poor. And so that was very interesting. The other interesting element that I wanted to bring out, while there are many interesting things about the study, the other piece that I thought particularly relevant was that if you talk to marketing people in organizations, they're more likely to tell you there's no collaboration, even if the privacy and security groups are saying, oh, yeah, they're collaborating with us. And so, I think that really speaks to what we talked about in many of the other areas, which is, if you don't understand the business and if you don't have close alignment of your objectives to business's objectives, the impact on your organization is real. Data breaches are much more likely to happen. Other things are, other bad things are more likely to happen when you don't have these things in place.
Well, we'll make sure to include some links to that work in our show notes. And I think, again, you've reinforced this notion and this key element of success, which some might want to avoid because it takes time, which is to get all the shareholders and stakeholders on board, create the collaboration structures, create the relationship networks, and that, how critical that is to the foundation of the success of the program.
Right, absolutely.
So do you have any other references or resources that you would like to point our listeners to for more information on the subject?
You can find more information on our Trustworthy Computing programs that include information on security and privacy, among other things, at microsoft.com/TWC.
Okay. Well, Kim, I'm so appreciative of your time and your expertise. I think you've provided great guidance and information and starting points for our listeners, and I hope we have an opportunity to talk again in the future.
I'm sure we will. Thanks very much, Julia, for this.